For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome, everyone, to WCW Retro. I'm your host for the evening, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. This is the place to be, folks. We talk about past, present, future professional wrestling, plus so much more. You never know who's going to call in. It's half the fun. The Wild West of Podcasts right here on WCW Retro on the VOC Nation Radio Network at VOCNation.com. And be sure to enjoy all our programming on VOCNation.com. We have a lot of great podcasts and for you all to enjoy. And tonight, for WCW Retro, the big topic of discussion tonight will be the total package, Lex Luger. So you got any favorite Lex Luger moments and memories to share? Please call in tonight in this live WCW Retro podcast at 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. I'm looking forward to talking Lex Luger with you guys shortly. Before we get started, I'd like to make a few announcements and plugs, if you will. First off, like I alluded to earlier, enjoy all the great podcasts on VOCNation.com. In the room every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shelly Martinez every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wrestling History every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, WCW Retro every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sassy Steph, Wrestling with Problems, the legendary Raging Bull Manny Fernandez has a podcast now on VOCNation.com. Briscoe and Big Ace, plus so much more podcasts for you guys to enjoy here on VOCNation.com. Just go to VOCNation.com and look for the dates and times of all of our podcasts, and I hope you enjoy them. And also, support us on Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation. Buy your favorite VOC Nation T-shirt now, including one of WCW Retro and one of yours truly, Papa Stro, the Four Faces of Stro. Join the Strovolution. But support us at VOCNation.com on Pro Wrestling Tees. Once again, ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation. Of course, a lot of stuff going on with my yours truly. I'm going to be on set soon for The Devil's Daughter, which is a Harlequin origin story. And for more information on that upcoming film, go to Facebook.com/RealDevil'sDaughter. I'll be starring as Dr. Jeremy Arkham in that upcoming film. Also, I'm going to be on set later on this year for the fourth season of the Dust series, where I star as the Chief. And you can check out all three seasons thus far on their YouTube channel at youtube.com/DUSK series or on Avail TV at availfilms.com, A-V-A-I-L films, all together, no space, .com. I'm going to be in a horror film later on this year that will be premiering called Stench of Iniquity, where that stars an ancient vampire named Abba in the film. For more information and updates on that upcoming film, go to Facebook.com/Stench of Iniquity, just like it sounds. Shout-outs to Masters of Ring Entertainment, MastersOfRingEntertainment.com, Fishing with Special Friends at FishingWithSpecialFriends.com, Innovative Hybrid Wrestling in the Maritimes area in Canada. Give them some love and find out what they're up to at Facebook.com/IHWWrestling. Cauliflower Alley Club. Check out the latest on the Cauliflower Alley Club at CauliflowerAlleyClub.org, O-R-G, and find out the latest, what's happening with the CAC. And the latest on yours truly, on my official website, is thestro.com, THESTRO.com. Merchandise website is THESTRO.com/merchandise, which is thestro.com/merchandise. Get your Papa Stro merch today for all ages, including pets. Facebook, I'm on Facebook at Stro the Maestro. Twitter at @StrO. Instagram at Stro Maestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/StroMaestro. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/RealPapaStro. And if you'd like to make a donation to myself, whether buy me a cup of coffee, tips, etc., thank you for those that have already donated. Much love and appreciation for that. But if you'd like to donate to me, send it to my PayPal at paypal.me, M as in Mary, E as in Eat, /PapaStro. So all together, it's paypal.me/PapaStro. And if you'd like to be a featured guest on WCW Retro, hit me up, shoot me an email at wcwretro@yahoo.com. We'll get you some exposure, if you will, right here on WCW Retro. And for bookings, which I take bookings for various things, so seminars, conventions, Comic-Cons, wrestling, television, events, film, radio, interviews, charities, what have you. I do a lot these days. Hit me up, email me. It's Strofoya, S-T-R-O, number 4-Y-A, at yahoo.com. Once again, it's Strofoya, yahoo.com. And thank you, as always, for your much-needed support. With that, lots going on, and callers will be – I see they're starting to perk up here. we're going to be taking a commercial break here, pause for the cause, and when we come back, we'll be talking Lex Luger so much more. And just a reminder, guys, anytime you want to call into tonight's live WCW Retro podcast, you can do so. at 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And we'll lead into the commercial with some, let's see what cool song we can lead the commercial with. I had one for you guys, but it's some Bret Hart. Yeah, we'll play some Bret Hart. We'll be back in just a few moments, folks. Stick with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And didn't get pregnant.
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Resume.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union House Band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place, Tickets are available at eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Lex Luger promo, one of his very best. right before the feud with him and Ricky, the Dragon Steamboat, started for the United States Championship. A tremendous feud that they had. And Lex had a lot of great feuds and matches over the years. Some of the very best in our business. Of course, including Nature Boy Ric Flair, who he mentioned in the promo, Sting, Stan Larry Hansen, and many others. Yokozuna, some of the very best in our industry. Hulk Hogan, the list goes on and on. And he's been a world champion quite a few times, for sure. You know, he's tagged with the very best as well. Barry Windham, for example, Sting, and a few others over the years, in which Luger is definitely one of the top stars in pro wrestling history, no doubt, and definitely made his mark, and one of the most well-conditioned athletes you've ever seen. I mean, this guy was in phenomenal shape and incredible. So, yeah, total package, Lex Luger, man. That's the topic for tonight. So if you guys got any cool Lex Luger stories, call in and tell us about it. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And I'd love to hear from it. So let's get the callers, shall we? What we got? Okay, we got Mr. Hollywood on the line. Let's bring him on.
Hey, Doug.
Welcome back to Hollywood. How you doing, brother?
How's it going? How's it going, brother?
Man, doing great, man. You okay?
Yes, sir.
Everything good?
Doing well. Yes, sir.
That's
great, man. Hello to all my friends on the line. I tell you, Lex Luger, I got some. Well, I'm telling you, my favorite is Lex Luger. Can I tell him, Officer Maestro?
No, go for it, man. It's Lex Luger night, brother.
I'm gonna start them with a bang. I'm gonna go way back when Lex Luger first came to NWA. He said he wanted to be a horseman.
Mm-hmm.
That was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, he became one of the four horsemen there for a little while.
Exactly. And then let's talk about, I'm going to bring it forward, when Lex Luger defeated Hulk Hogan for the WCW World Heavyweight title. He hit him in the torture act.
Yeah, what a night that was. Wow.
Wasn't that something?
That was amazing. That was amazing. And to get Hulk Hogan up in the torture act, that was epic.
I mean, I tell you, Lex Luger, you're talking about one of the big names, you got to say Lex Luger.
He was in phenomenal shape, always in this tip-top condition, man.
He was. Yeah, he was. And then, I can't forget about Lex Luger and the Wolf Pack.
Oh, yeah, he was part of the Wolf Pack. That's right, NWA Wolf Pack.
That's right. Him with Sting and Kevin Nash, Macho Man Randy Savage, K-Dawg.
That's right.
The Wolfpack. Big Sexy Kevin Nash.
Yeah, their theme
man.
Song was pretty catchy, too. Remember the Wolfpack song?
I used to love that. Oh, my God, I used to love that. Sometimes still go, I'll go on YouTube and listen to it. Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Lex Luger was an incredible athlete.
Oh, amazing, man. I remember when him and Sting won the Crockett Cup Tag Team Tournament years ago.
You're right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That
and
was
what
tough.
A popular team
that,
they were, yeah.
They were, yeah. They were. You know what? The more I think about it, you remember when Sting and Lex Luger, they went against the Road Warriors when they went rogue?
Yeah.
Wasn't that something?
What a match that was back then. Two of the most popular teams at the time, them and the Road Warriors, man.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome. What about the match
and
they have with the Steiner Brothers? Remember the Steiner Brothers? They wrestled the Steiner Brothers? Rick and Scott.
I don't know. They did. I caught that.
If you haven't, check it out when you get a chance. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. I got to check that out. Wow. Yeah, Lex Luger, I mean, Lex Luger is definitely on his death of legacy in pro wrestling, no doubt about it.
Right. And when he was the horseman, he got the team with Tully Blanchard and the Crockett Cup
exactly.
the year before. Heck, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was fun. That's a shame they kicked out Ole Anderson to bring in Lex Luger. That was it.
Right.
Got rid of. How do you get? I mean, I understand. Like, I get it all. But how do you get rid of Ole Anderson to bring in Lex Luger? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, because you know, Ole Anderson, he was a tough customer.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I guess they saw Lex Luger at the time as the future. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Big guy
okay,
put together. You know what I mean?
You're right. Like I said, they definitely kicked him out.
But it's amazing. That torch rack of his, I mean, the guys he's gotten up in that torch rack was pretty darn impressive.
It was. I mean, it really was. I mean, like I said, it really got me. When he put Hogan in the torch rack, that was something to see.
That was wild,
that was really
yeah.
something to see. Hogan. I mean, no, Hogan, he wasn't a small person, man.
Mm-mm.
I was
amazed when he was feeding Dusty Rhodes. He actually got Dusty up in the torch rack.
He did? I didn't know that.
Yes. Blew my mind. Yeah, at the time.
Wow. And Dusty Rhodes, like, he was like 320, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a big fella. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
That's when Dusty brought back the Weaver Lock, the sleeper hold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
But yeah, I mean that Lex was a horse, man. He was strong, dude.
He was. I mean, like I say, he was in top excellent condition. He was always in top condition. I mean.
No, he was amazing. It just blew my mind what great shape he was in. You know, Hiro Matsuda years ago trained him to be a pro wrestler.
Oh, wow.
Years ago.
That.
Yeah. And he was the same guy that brought in Hogan, trained Hulk Hogan.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Wow. That's, you know, pretty impressive. You know what I mean?
Wow. You know what? The more I think, you know when Lex Luger, after the Wolfpack, thing was gone for a while. You mean, and Lex Luger went rogue. You remember that?
Yeah.
He went dirty. You know, he had the other Wolfpack. Remember? The more I think about it, when Hogan when they went Wolfpack style,
mm-hmm.
had another Wolf, another Wolfpack. You know, and then Lex Luger ran in. You know, I guess he's going to send the good guys, but he turned. He went rogue and went with the Hogan Wolfpack.
Right.
That was something. I mean, he went dirty. I couldn't believe Lex Luger went dirty like that. He went from like a villain.
When he was WCW World Champion at one time, he was managed by Harley Race. Back.
He was.
And this was like right back after. This is after Ron Simmons became World Champion. And Ron Simmons and Lex Luger had that feud for the title, yeah, and Harley Race was managing Lex.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so ironic because Ron Simmons was also, you know, Hiro Matsuda also broke in Ron Simmons as well. So, I mean, you got that lineage there, Hogan, Simmons, and Luger being trained by Matsuda, man. That's pretty wild.
You're right. And Ron Simmons, he was great. I like him. I like Ron Simmons, too. You know, he was that one time. He was a WCW heavyweight champion, Ron Simmons was.
Oh yeah, he was amazing, and another strong strong bull, man. He was.
Yeah, he was.
Anytime him and Luger together, like two bulls ramming each other. You know what I mean?
You ain't lying. Ron Simmons, better known as Farouk.
Oh right.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely on two powerhouses for sure.
No doubt, man. Oh my God. I mean, and Luger, man. I mean, he's. If you think about it, he's faced a lot of the top guys in the business through the years. You know, we mentioned a few: just Hogan and Flair and Sting.
Yeah.
And Simmons.
You're right.
Man, and of course in WWE, you know, wrestled Bret Hart and I think him and Davey Boy wrestled a few times.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, he was in WWE when it was WWF, right?
Yeah.
What was it?
And at one time, Bobby Heenan was managing him. The narcissist.
I think I remember that too.
Mm-hmm. And then he became a fan favorite and started doing the whole Lex Express thing with Yokozuna, traveling the country on the U.S. Lex Express tour.
I think I remember that too. Yeah, like I said, I mean, Lex Luger, man,
Lex Luger,
he was definitely one of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely. He was great. And he was also, remember when Vince started the whole World Bodybuilding Federation deal? Luger was doing commercials for that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been wild, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's definitely one of my favorites. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Oh, we got Steve on the line. You remember Professor Steve, right?
Oh, yeah, Steve Logan.
Yeah, here he is. Professor Steve, welcome back, brother. How you doing?
How you doing, Steve?
How you doing, Steve?
How you doing, brother?
Good. Glad I can call in.
Good to hear from you. Yeah, we're talking Lex Luger tonight. The total package.
Yeah, I was watching some YouTube earlier. I actually got the chance to meet him last year at a convention, and he told me he was asked a lot about – he's been asked about it a lot, but I asked him about the Brody Cage match where kind of lost control of the match.
Wow.
Crazy. And then told me, you know, he just checked, you know, checked with Brody after the match, and Brody was cool, but in the moment, totally – you know, didn't know what to do, freaked out, just ran out of the cage.
Mr. Hollywood and I were just talking about how Miro Matsuda has quite the lineage, breaking in Luger, Ron Simmons, Hulk Hogan, and like some of the best names in the business, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, the Jarrett's too.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, Luger came from that class, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, I was listening to Cornette's thoughts on Luger, and I totally didn't think about it. I should have, though, but, you know, Luger going to Nitro without letting WWE Vince know, I wonder if that's the grudge that, you know, and that continued, or if Vince took, you know, still remembers, and Jim kind of, you know, said that's, you know, exactly it. And then, yeah, it's like definitely interesting. He's definitely a part of history with Nitro and also with WrestleMania challenging Yokozuna and that body slam challenge was a pretty big moment.
The one of Bobby Eaton kept claiming was a hip toss. Commentary.
Right.
Oh man. You're right though. He made history in Nitro. I don't think if Luger hadn't have showed up on that Nitro at the end there, I mean, I don't think it would have. I don't know. I mean, they had some good matches, don't get me wrong, that night, but I just think that was like pretty much icing on the cake, seeing Luger show up out of nowhere from straight from WWE like that, you know? That was history.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've heard that Luger has some good work with Flair, too. And I guess the Saturday night days, you know?
Yeah, I remember during that time period they were promoting those Rue shoes. Remember those Rue tennis shoes they were promoting? They were like different colors. They call them, get your Rue tennis shoes, right? And I think at one point Luger was wearing a pair through the ring.
Wow.
Now you got Young Bucks wearing these $11,000 shoes, I guess, during their matches or...
Right.
Wow.
Crazy.
And he was part of that Zubaz faz. Remember the Zubaz was in style? Like the Road Warriors and Sting and Luger always would wear Zubaz pants. Zubaz gym pants.
I wish I asked Animal how much he made off of that. Because I saw him last year. Do they still sell?
I think some places still sell them, yeah. I think some places still sell them. I mean, but you know they banked on that. Oh, my God.
One of Brady's friends, Anthony Green, is in NXT. Like, I think he must be keeping them alive because he seems like one of the guys that wears Zubaz a lot. And like, I told him I like his jacket because it looked like a Rivera jacket.
I got my pair from Nikita Koloff at his gym when I was going to work out at the gym.
I'm in Nikita Koloff.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was selling them, too. He had a whole bunch of Zubaz pants.
he's a tough customer, too.
And Lex had some good matches with Nikita, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Wow. Two powerhouses.
Man, you know, I really think Luger, I mean, you know, he made some great accomplishments. I still think a lot of his stuff is still underrated, though. Because, like I said, he was very much a part of, you know, wrestling history.
Yes, he was. Yep, he was. He really was, I mean.
Yeah, former world champion of WCW at one point. And, wrestled with some of the biggest names in WWE, in WCW.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, world champion,
he's
the United States champion.
I was telling Mr. Hollywood, if he gets a chance to watch it on YouTube sometime, I think it's in the YouTube somewhere, there's a match with the Steiner brothers against Sting and Lex Luger. It was amazing.
I gotta watch that on YouTube when I get a chance, sure.
Yeah, Nikita Koloff does a run-in in that match at the end, actually.
Wow. That's crazy.
But the Steiner brothers and Sting and Luger, they had such good chemistry, man. It just blew me away how good the match was.
Yeah, they did. That's why it shocked me when Steiner brothers, you know. That's why I thought it was a bad idea as far as, you know, Steiner. I mean, he broke them up like that when Scott Hall joined the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like I said,
we mentioned earlier, he was part of the infamous Wolfpack, NWO Wolfpack. Luger was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he has so much history. I mean, he has so much history that Luger does in professional wrestling.
He was in the War Games match, too.
Oh, yeah.
With,
that's right.
Horseman.
Yeah, he was in the War Games.
He was a great. Yeah, I thought he was a great horseman, honestly.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, like I said, yeah, I thought he was. I mean, yeah. I mean, he really. I mean, like I say, he has Ric Flair on hands and Lex, Kelly Vance and Lex Luger. I mean, that was. He gave him a brand new look when he joined the Horsemen.
Now, his feud with Dusty Rhodes was really good for the United States title.
Wow. Yeah, that's wow.
And we mentioned earlier he teamed with Tully Blanchard in the Crockett Cup.
Wow.
And also Sting, I think the following year or two later.
That was incredible.
Magnum T.A. was in their corner, Sting and Luger, right?
Oh.
In the Crockett Cup.
Oh, okay.
I believe so.
Was okay.
Either that, it was I don't know if it was their corner or previous year with Dusty and Nikita. It was one of the two that McIntyre was involved.
You know, Lex Luger, he was also in the War Games. You know, it's the NWO versus the Horsemen. Wasn't Lex Luger in the War Games in that match?
Yeah, we just talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hogan.
Yeah, it was. If I'm mistaken, Luger was in the first ever War Games, right?
I think the
Horsemen and.
Yeah, the NWO.
This was back when the Horseman was freeing with Dusty and his friends.
Wow.
Yeah, he's seven.
Yes.
But yeah.
So,
and I love this.
Go
ahead.
Obviously, is it fair to say Ric Flair is Luger's best opponent?
Well, I know they had some great matches together. I mean, they clicked really well. I would say Sting would be another one that Luger had good chemistry with.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Matches go. Yeah.
They had to because I know they're friends behind scenes, and Sting definitely lobbied to get Luger into WCW during that early Nitro run.
Yeah, they're good friends. They're also business partners. They had the gym in Atlanta, Main Event Fitness, for a little while. So, yeah, they're pretty tight.
Yeah.
You know, that controversy, you know, when NWO came on the scene, the fake Sting came out, and everybody thought that was Sting, but it wasn't. And then, you know, the controversy between Lex Luger and Sting, and they fell out. I don't know what happened. That was really incredible, too, I mean, because – you know, I guess they broke up their friendship or something like that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then Sting came in. You know, Sting came out later as the Black and White Sting, but he was quiet, didn't say anything. And I remember he came in the ring one time, Sting did, and Luger's there, and I think they shook hands or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't remember. That was something. That was really something.
One of my favorite feuds with Luger had been the one with him and Ricky Steamboat. Man, that feud was hot.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That was the one where he turned on Steamboat, the Clash of Champions. Remember that?
I'm about to go.
When Luger
turned
on Steamboat.
Dang, I didn't know that.
And they had a match later on that year at the Great American Bash. Oh, it was so good.
Wow. Yeah, Lex Luger, he's wrestled some big names, no doubt about it. I forgot about Ricky Steamboat. Dragon.
Oh, yeah. This was right after Flair and Steamboat's feud, too, title. It was right after that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you, but did you talk about the releases earlier today?
Not yet, but I was going to get to that.
Sorry. I was going to get to that, man.
Yeah. Well, we can jump on it now. We're on the topic, man. Yeah. What about all these releases that WWE released? Crazy, man.
Like, I'm wondering if they have a no-compete, because if they don't, maybe someone like a Samoa Joe could pull Lex Luger and go on Dynamite.
Wouldn't that be something?
Right.
Wow. Samoa Joe and AEW, man. Wow.
Wow. I like him.
Yeah. I couldn't believe they let him go.
Man, that's crazy.
He was a good guy.
And the Iconics.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the Iconics. Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, they let go the girls, man.
They want to expand to Mexico, but they released Andrade and Kalisto. I don't get it.
Ah, what in the world? Do the best they had.
Right.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, you would think Charlotte would have tried to pull some strings and say, hey, you know, let's hang on to Andrade.
She might have pitched an on-air couple story, and they just probably didn't want it. But I was worried about Aleister Black, but apparently I read that he's filming stuff for his return, so I'm kind of happy to hear that he's not, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Future endeavors, yeah.
But man, whoever gets Samoa Joe, they're gonna be pretty happy, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely a good asset.
Oh, I would love down the road to see the Iconics get back together in some way or fashion.
Well,
they end up with.
That's why. Right. That's why I thought. Like, I could definitely see them in Impact or AEW.
Right.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I miss their sticks whenever they come to the ring. The little deals they would do. Oh man, it was so entertaining. Those guys.
Well, I heard that it is. Yeah, Popping, I'm going to call it a night, but I'm Pop Stroke. I just want to say I enjoyed talking tonight.
Oh, always a pleasure, Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, I tell you, I really
so
enjoy. I enjoy your podcast. I enjoy you, Steve Logan, and Dr. John, and Malcolm, and Granny Hulkster, and everybody. I mean, I really enjoy calling in every week because I love professional wrestling.
It's always a pleasure, brother. Call back anytime you want, man. Thank you so much.
We're doing us. And I love you guys. Love you guys. Love you, brothers. Love you, brothers.
I love you too, Mr. Hollywood. Take care of yourself.
Y'all take care. You too. Bye-bye.
You too now. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Mr. Hollywood, everybody. Yep, this is, yeah. I was kind of taken back by some of the names that were let go. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But I guess it's that time of year, right? After WrestleMania.
Especially for Joe, like, it was funny, me, my friend, and somebody I follow, we all, like, said the same profanity about Joe leaving. Like, what the F?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I was so hoping he would eventually get back in the ring. I mean, he was great on commentary. I thought he was awesome, but I was just hoping he would have one more run, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I think.
But maybe can you imagine him in AEW? That would be pretty amazing.
Oh man, I'd love to see him with I'd love to see him toss Darby Allin around. I'd love to see him against Lance Archer.
Oh my god, can you imagine? what a match Darby had with Matt Hardy the other night. It was really good.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch all of it, but I saw a lot of the end of it, and it was pretty neat, especially when he did the coffin drop up the stage area. It was crazy onto the table.
That was amazing. That was pretty amazing, man. And I mean, the whole card the other night was really good. Jade and Velvet was pretty good. Jericho and Dax was really good too, and it was and that punch. Oh God, that punch he gave Cash. Oh my God, wow. But it was, top to bottom, I thought it was a great one of their better shows.
Oh, apparently they did over a million because of the NXT move, probably.
Nice.
And I think NXT did like 800,000 this week. So
I think that move was good for both of them. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
I really thought. I thought it was really cool NXT having all the women's champions in the ring together.
Yeah, I did see that. That's pretty cool. I wonder what's next for Io though, because Raquel, I think, is a dominant looking champion, but I wonder if Io moves to another brand or challenges the M. But it was cool to see Rhea and Raquel together, yeah.
Right. I hope, you know, they got some really cool in mind for Io because she's one of the best they got. She's amazing.
Right.
And same goes for Asuka. I really hope they got something cool for her, because I mean she's been really solid champ for them most of the year.
Definitely.
But
you know,
yeah,
I was kind of disappointed. Disappointed we had no Bayley match on Mania. I think they were teasing a Becky returning. I cut it.
Yeah, I didn't get that because, you know, Becky was doing all those teasers out there, and then nothing really transpired. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was just the rain delay, and then maybe they changed plans to just the Isabella's there. But yeah, I thought if they were going to bring her back, why not bring her back while there's a crowd?
Right.
Unless you do NXT, yeah.
I heard that. I think, okay, this is, we'll be 484 area code. I think this is Justin. Let's see. Welcome to WCW Retro. Hello. Okay,
Maybe.
What's that?
No, I was wondering if he was on mute or somebody was on mute.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I thought maybe it was Justin. Well, let me try him again. See if it's him. Hello, welcome to WCW Retro, 484 area code. Going once.
Going twice.
All right. Oh, well. Well, if they can, they're still online, so they can listen in.
Mm-hmm.
We tried twice. the next month or so will be pretty interesting where all this talent ends up, for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if they do a roster shakeup too, or just doing spring cleaning. But I'll be looking forward to seeing if there's any no competes or whatnot when that news gets out. But it was interesting news earlier. Did you see the Jericho interview on the network?
The Jericho?
Yeah, the Jericho interview.
Oh yeah, that was pretty interesting, and it was really cool to see some of those AEW Easter eggs in there. The Jericho dropped off as well.
And then I thought it was cool that he talked about his New Japan run too with Naito and Tanahashi.
Mhm. It was cool to talk about some
and,
of the
Omega.
That him and Austin did when they had their feuding together, and they were showing clips of some of the stuff they did on the fly. Right. And it was really cool that he brought up Eddie Guerrero too.
Oh yeah.
And then Sammy Guevara got a mention. One of his favorite tag team partners.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. Like, just hearing, you wouldn't think just a while ago that they'd be talking about AEW in the network like this on Peacock.
Ah, good stuff, man. I really enjoyed it. I really hope this is a sign maybe to we'll see a little bit, you know, a few more crossover interviews on the Austin podcast, you know what I mean?
Right. Maybe I'd love to see a Dustin interview. I think that'd be pretty good because
he could talk
about Goldust and Dusty.
Yes. Oh, that would be great. Because I'm sure he would have a lot of good stories, Dustin.
Right.
Or even Cody. Can you imagine Cody on there? Be amazing.
Oh, yeah. Because his line could be career there too, so.
Oh, that'd be tremendous. Good stuff. Let's see. Well, let's try the 484 one more time. Hopefully, we'll get a voice response. 484 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, Justin. We tried to get you on a couple times, and we didn't hear nothing back. So, hey, welcome back, man. How you doing?
I was having phone issues, that's all.
That's all good.
I was being stupid.
All right. Yeah, we're talking Lex Luger earlier. You got any cool Lex Luger stories or moments you'd like to share?
Oh man. I'll say one was Lex Luger when it was one I saw on YouTube earlier last week or the week before. It was Lex Luger body slammed was it Yokozuna or something like somebody like that?
Yeah, Yoko.
I think it was him, but it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one Bobby Heenan kept claiming it was a hip toss, not a body slam.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lex Express. Yeah, he had the bus and everything.
It was interesting. I was saying to myself, I was like there's no way that this guy's gonna body slam a 500 pound guy.
Oh.
And then
that guy was massive.
He was huge. It's crazy throughout Yokozuna's career. I don't know if you watched his documentary.
Well done. Enjoyed it. Yeah,
later
that was a good one. Yeah.
Later on in his career, he would just keep on adding and adding. I didn't want to wait till him. I'm like, that's bad. That's bad for your health and all that. But I guess.
Mm.
But I guess he was going through a lot of stuff and all that. But who knows?
Remember that match he had with Vader? And after the match, they had to literally pick up Yoko in a forklift because he was, like, too heavy to pick up?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that was wild, man.
I got to go back and watch that because I'm sure that was a big, interesting heavyweight match right there.
But, yeah, Luger, yeah, he was... He had a pretty good run there with WWE.
He did.
During that time.
I'm just looking at his NWA run, and he's got so many great opponents, like Brian Pillman, Great Muta. He even had Mark Callis before he became Undertaker.
I think he wrestled Mark right before he went to Vince. Right before.
Right.
Do you think...
American Bash.
Do you think Lex Luger would still be a top draw if he was still wrestling today?
Oh, absolutely.
I think
he would be.
I know Cornette said he would.
I remember a couple months. I think it was last year. So I heard that Lex Luger he's in like a wheelchair now, and I'm like. Damn, that's crazy. Like, what's the cause of that? Is it just like all the wrestling?
I think it was just working out and taking a lot of supplements, so to speak, and just that after a while, I think his body just broke down just from all the working out. And training after a while.
Yeah, Luger used to train like a madman. I mean, that's how he was in phenomenal shape.
Even I was watching, I think, one of his matches. It might have been in the 2000s, like past his prime. He was wrestling Tracy Smothers, and he didn't have his balance, but he just looked ripped, even like... In his post WWE like matches, he was like still in shape.
Yeah, I mean the dude had like an 8-pack instead of a 6-pack. He was just like ripped to the bone.
Right. Do you prefer Luger as a villain? Because that seems like even Luger says he prefers being a villain.
Oh yeah. He was a great heel, man. Every time he would turn heel, that was some of his best stuff.
He was the narcissist in WWE, and sure, he was a good villain in WWE as well.
That's what made his turn against on Ricky Steamboat so good, was the fact that he was such a great heel doing it.
Right.
Because he was it was during the time where he thought Terry Funk and Ricky Steamboat was getting all the title matches, not him, against Flair. And it was like the perfect time to turn heel. His timing was great. But yeah, he was much better. I mean, in my opinion, he was a much better heel. Some of his best stuff.
Definitely.
And now he went to Japan quite a bit when they went to Japan also.
Yeah.
I think.
He had matches with Chono too.
Chono, that's right. And he wrestled the Great Muta at that Starrcade.
Yes. 89. I'm going to go back and rewatch that. Because it's just like, it surprised, like, I forget how many great opponents Luger had in the NWA, just show you.
Oh, yeah.
Starrcade 95, it was the event that he faced Chono.
Mm-hmm. And he had pretty sweet. Yeah, he had pretty sweet power slam, too.
Right.
His power slams are pretty cool.
Alrighty, guys, I'm gonna head off. I'm going to get off here. I got to go to work at like 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, it's good talking to you, Justin. Thank you for calling, man.
Yeah, man. I'll try and I just got to keep staying on this positive mind frame and all that. It's been like the last couple months, it's just been stressful. That's why I haven't been calling in any shows and just keeping myself and all that. So,
hey, we'll keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, man. I'll talk to you guys. I might call it next week or the week after, but
awesome.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, please do anytime.
I'll probably let you know with a message or something here and there.
Sure. Yeah. Always enjoy having you on, brother.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You guys have a good night, player guys.
Oh, you too.
Yep.
That was Justin, everybody. And we have a Skype call, the 111s. So it's like Forrest Gump's life's like a box of chocolates. You never know where you're gonna get, especially with the Skype caller. So, all right. So here it is. Okay, 111, 111, and then ones. welcome to WCW Retro.
Welcome, man. Tito Santana. No, how you doing, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome back, brother. How you been?
I'm doing good. Sorry I was late. I was checking out the press conference that I had on Impact with Kenny Omega and Rich Swann.
Oh, how'd that go?
It went pretty good. They did say that both companies had agreed for all those people that have been asking that at Rebellion there will be a winner. They're going to make sure there's a winner, that somebody's walking out champion. And
title for title, right?
Yeah. And they said both champions have agreed that they will defend their title on Impact or AEW, whoever wins. And then at the end, Omega and Rich Swann got into it. Omega slapped Rich Swann in the face. And they got into it and turned the tables over.
I don't know if this will ever happen, but can you imagine the swerve and Rich Swann would come out both the AEW champion and TNA Impact? Can you imagine? Oh my God!
Yeah, that would be wild. And I've had a few people mention to me that they think that, see, Tony Khan announced that he's going to be appearing at the pay per view. And I've had a few people mention to me they think that Tony Khan is going to buy Impact or something, but I don't know.
I don't know.
No,
that'd be amazing.
I think it'd be more like a feeder system type thing, like OVW. Not that the main Impact, but I think that's what it would be most likely.
Yeah, I don't see how he would fit all that talent into Dynamite. I mean, 2 hours, and then Impact if he's still.
He's got so much talent that he has to have two YouTube shows to put him on there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Looks like he may have more talent with all these people being released.
I know.
Really?
Latest Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Rawley. Oh my gosh.
Did you see the Twitter exchange between CM Punk and Samoa Joe Steve?
No.
Yeah, I think Joe tweeted like a Chappelle gif and CM Punk tweeted a Joe with the Chappelle gif, and then like Joe was like, they shouldn't never give me money or something like that.
Yeah, after that Punk said, yeah, they both blanked up.
I don't know.
I still can't believe they got rid of him, man. That's unbelievable.
I know that was surprising to me when I seen that name. I mean, the other names I wasn't really that surprised about. When I seen Samoa Joe, I'm like, Samoa Joe, he's been on there announcing and did a pretty good job, you ask me, and then
Billy Kay was just on their pay per view on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was surprised by the comment, you know, that they got rid of them, and Chelsea Green, you know,
having the Good Brothers too. They were on WrestleMania, and then they get taken off the roster.
Yeah, they were main event with AJ and Taker.
Yeah.
Well, I guess those rumors can be put to rest now about Bo Dallas being Bray Wyatt or being the Fiend.
Right. There's a lot of speculation online about the Fiend not being Bray Wyatt, and I'm like, I knew it wasn't true when WrestleTalk, you know, shared rumors about the finish being changed at Mania, and I was like, okay, well, it's not Bo Dallas, and it's not Aleister Black Bo Dallas right now, but it's like, now they look even worse, like, trying to say it was Bo Dallas when he gets released. If it was Bo Dallas, he wouldn't be released.
Well, you know, when I was watching the Mania match, I don't think that was Bray Wyatt, the Fiend. I don't think that was Bray Wyatt.
Oh, you're one of them?
Yeah, I don't. But I'm gonna tell you why, Steve. Because when he
Q and Sammy
when he does, no, the reason I say that is because he moved so quickly. I mean, he dove the first move. He dove off and hit that clothesline. I was like, "Holy smokes, that was fast for Bray Wyatt!" And then he starts just moving real fast in the ring, and I'm like, "He looks like he's lost some weight or something." I'm like, "Is that really Bray Wyatt?" And I noticed his arms were covered up the whole match. He never showed his arms.
I got one comment to make. WrestleMania was inside job.
that's a good one. Yeah.
Oh man. That's. I don't know where the heck they're going with this Bray Wyatt Alexa Bliss thing. I mean, it's just going way off the rafters. I have no clue what's happening.
Yeah. I'm frustrated that I keep defending the Bray Wyatt character, and then they keep, you know, dissatisfying us with these. You know, he can come back from the dead, but he can't even beat Randy Orton, but Alexa Bliss can. It makes no sense, even with the Bray Wyatt character.
Well, they
going to, like, feud or what? I don't know, man.
Well, they originally said that before Mania, that Vince and Bruce Pritchard had it down that Bray Wyatt was going to win, and then they changed it last minute and said Randy Orton was going to win. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, Russell Tong mentioned that.
Yeah. So.
Poor Ollie in WrestleTalk. They made him shave his head and eyebrows. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Poor Ollie.
He looked like a Tekken. He looked like a Tekken character with that buzz cut that I heard the other day.
There was a YouTube video I seen. I don't know if y'all have ever seen this guy. I watch WrestleTalk too, but there's this guy. I don't know if I've ever seen him or not. He'll get on YouTube and he'll say, "And I want to let everybody know that I have some rumors and the WWE." And after every sentence,
he sounds like Rat Boy. He sounds like Rat Boy.
Yeah, he sounds like a robot. but he said the other day, I know what you're talking about. I was like, what in the world? But he said the other day, he said, "Now watch everybody at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar will be revealed as the Fiend. He will have five Randy Jordan." I was like,
that's gotta be a voiceover or something. Yeah. A bot with voiceover or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, man.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Next month or so will be interesting.
DeAndre Wayne Shatner.
Right.
Sure. What do you think about the Hall of Fame? Because I was kind of very jaded going in, so I did enjoy the speeches that I did hear, like Kane's and RVD's.
Yep, I enjoyed them. I just wish they would have let them go on longer with the speeches. Some of them are way too short.
Right. That's how I felt.
Basically, when Molly Holly got up there, yeah, to say, thank you, have a good night. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, if they're not going to, I understand not having inductees there because of travel and COVID, but, like, if you're not going to have, people inducting them speeches, you might as well let the speeches be longer then.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
And especially Bischoff. Why would Bischoff be short? All the history with him. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Yeah, he's kind of, I guess it depends on who's paying him what at the time, because I noticed after he got inducted in the Hall of Fame, he went on a show and did an interview, and he said, who gives a crap about the whole Impact, AEW, whole angle they're doing partnership. Who cares? Nobody cares. And I was like, wow, you disappeared on AEW a few weeks ago, and you're talking big and good about it, and now you're into the Hall of Fame, and now you done changed your mind because you're being paid by Vince McMahon.
I think people expect them to be blunt, and honestly, Impact doesn't get a lot of buzz, so I don't think he's not wrong either, but I'd have to listen to the clip for full context, but sometimes I still listen to him for the profile episodes. Like, he did an episode on Kurt Henning and Virginia. It was pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah, 83 weeks is good. I mean, he does some good stuff. I was just, pointing that, but
I like those guest appearances he does on AEW.
I hope he'll still be doing them, comment. but this whole partnership thing, I hope they're building to something. I guess they're building to something because, I've seen it really benefit I guess it's benefiting AEW by having the Good Brothers on there, but I don't see what it's doing for Impact. I mean, they have the Hal Omega over there, but I don't really see what it's doing, I mean, I don't see what it's doing for, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Now they got the Young Bucks in the clique too. So they pretty much got everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Together.
See,
and
I love how everybody got worked from their tweet about no negativity, please, and everybody just took the bait.
Yeah.
They can't read sarcasm apparently.
You know, I think something interesting though. I remember about 2 weeks ago, Tom Matonga was on Twitter, and he tweeted and he tagged John Moxley, and he said, "Hey Moxley," he said, "I think you might need some help." I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I also wonder what Don Callis was talking about last night when he said they had some kind of surprise. As they were talking about that last night, wrestling, they were wondering what he was talking about.
I like how Young Bucks got those white outfits and those expensive shoes. Like, it's just total, that's total heat, white heat. Right?
Yeah. Now, y'all, you know, I just thought of something. You know, Stro was talking about a little bit ago, you know, you were talking about what if Rich Swann walks out Impact and AEW champion. Well, here's another scenario I don't know if anybody thought about. What if they pull a WCW swerve nobody sees coming and Tony Khan shows up at Impact, he costs Rich Swann the match, joins Don Callis, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks, and the Good Brothers. And then you got another Bischoff NWO thing.
That sounds like Immortal from TNA.
Yeah, I know. Right. That would be horrible, actually. Horrible, because it'd be a repeat of what happened.
They might stick the fork in Impact. They might stick the fork in Impact.
Yeah.
As long as Khan doesn't do a bunch of appearances on Dynamite, then it'd probably be more tolerable. But we have enough heel authority figures, real authority figures.
I tell you what, that Don Callis, that man gets on my nerves bad. he does good at portraying his character. I mean, he can get under your skin. He does a good job.
I know he was raw back. He was a great manager.
Yeah,
I've been following him since the Killing the Talent podcast days, and I really liked his New Japan work, and it's kind of cool to see how he's progressed and kind of reinvigorated Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks recently.
I've been following him ever since he was Cyrus over in ECW running it on TNN.
Cyrus,
long black hair.
I didn't have ECW when I was watching earlier, but I went back and watched the Cyrus work. I went back and watched it. He was pretty entertaining even back then. So that's Cyrus, and I liked his Jackal work too, because he had that cult leader vibe to him.
Oh yeah, are you talking about the one where he was with Kurgan and WWF?
The Truth Commission, his
tire
was working really good, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, tonight, Lex Luger tonight.
Yeah, got any cool Lex Luger stories?
Oh, yeah. Back in, it was 2000 and, I think it was around 2012, it might have been. I got to meet Lex Luger and Nikita Koloff in person, and Luger, real nice guy. I got to watch him. Nikita, the day before, he was at a wrestling thing. It was called Wrestling for Jesus, and Thunderbolt Patterson was there. He gave his testimony, and Nikita Koloff and boxer Ebo Elder was there. He gave his testimony, and Tommy Wildfire Rich was there, and Chick Donovan, and the next day in church, it was Koloff and Luger was there together, and they gave their testimony and preach and everything, and I videotaped it. And Luger, you know, he was he's a great person, and he, you know, so was Koloff, and he was a great wrestler in the ring. I remember one of my favorite all-time matches, and I mentioned on the show before, but it was Barry Windham and Lex Luger against Arn and Tove Blanchard when Arn Anderson, Tove Blanchard, whenever Luger turned on Barry Windham, and and he joined the Horsemen. You know, I thought that was awesome.
I think that was the other way around.
Yeah,
I think
Barry
that was Barry turned on Lex.
Yeah. I was thinking when I said that. I think I said that wrong. that's what it was. Barry turned on Lex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember
one of my favorite matches together.
Oh, yeah.
Barry and Lex did.
They're good. And then I remember one of my favorite matches from WCW Main Event. It might have been called NWA Main Event. Back then it was Lex Luger. Jim Ross was calling the action, and I forgot who the commentator was with him, but it was a main event. It was Lex Luger and Dr. Death Steve Williams. And they battled it out and went to a draw, time limit draw, and they said, "We're out of time, folks. We got to go, but this has been quite a match, you know." and then I remember when Luger won the world title first time ever from Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I thought that was amazing. And
my little brother was so mad years ago watching the Bash, Great American Bash. Luger fought Flair for the title. They were in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And Luger had him in the rack, right? And the bell rang, and my brother was cheering, right? He thought Luger had won the title, right? And then it turned out that they had to stop the match because they have the blood stipulation rule for the athletic commission there in Baltimore. So that's how Flair retained the title, and my brother was so hot.
Oh, man.
My little brother was so mad. Oh, my God. It was so funny watching him get upset.
Man.
That was NWO, right?
What was that?
What match was that in Baltimore you were talking about?
Yeah, that's a Great American Bash. When Luger wrestled Flair for the title. That was the night that they had that triple Tower of Doom cage match with the teams.
Oh, yeah.
The Jimmy Garvin's team against Kevin Sullivan's team. Because they were feuding at the time. And I think the first opener match was Nikita and Sting taking on Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. I mean, it was a stacked card. Oh, yeah. The Fantastics and the Midnight Express wrestled that night, too.
Nice. Why do you think Luger didn't get the I know the answer is probably Vince, but why do you think Luger didn't get the WWE title, the world title, like, especially when he was hot, when he was feuding with Yoko? Like, I know Brett would get it eventually, but Luger would challenge Brett at Mania, but it seems like they didn't pull the trigger right away or at the right time.
You know, that boggles my mind because Luger was everything Vince liked at the time. He was a big guy, good-looking guy, great, phenomenal shape, had a presence about him. I mean, he was like everything you would think Vince would, like, love, right? But he never got a crack at being WWE champion. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I've always wondered about that myself.
It's interesting because what if they did that to Cena or Roman Reigns, but they did it to Luger at that point.
Yeah, I mean it would have been like
the
person that never had the championship should have been champion. You know, I mean.
I mean, I'm sure Luger would have been a great champion for him.
Yeah, he put on some great matches with Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental title.
Oh, yeah.
But they ended in count out and disqualification, but I never did get finished, you know. But he put on some good matches, though. I mean, you know, and him and you know, another guy that, you know, I'm surprised that Vince didn't take further and put the belt on was Tatanka. You know, he was undefeated for like 2 years.
That's true.
Man. I got to ask, I don't know if that ever happened. Did Tatanka ever, did Tatanka work WCW when Goldberg was there?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Yeah,
I don't.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I'm not
that
really
was
sure.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, God, if Vince would have gave Luger a chance, I'm sure he would have been a great champion there for him.
Oh, and
for some
speaking
reason,
of Keith,
for some reason, you know what I mean? It just never happened.
Yeah. Speaking of Nikita Koloff, I know Malcolm's not on here tonight, but if you're listening, Malcolm, I know you'll go back and listen to the show. Nikita Koloff said to tell you, thank you for your question about him and Dusty. Who was it? Him and Sting. Yeah, him and Sting against Tully and Arn. Thank you for your comments, and that was the your most memorable and favorite tag team match. But he said he did want to correct you. It's a Russian sickle, not a clothesline.
Hey, Malcolm, if you listen to the archives of this podcast, you're getting some love from Russian Nightmare and Nikita Koloff. So. And it's the sickle, not the clothesline, the Russian sickle. Ask David Crockett.
Yeah, he actually mentioned that there in the interview about doing that on David Crockett and shut David Crockett's mouth.
Oh my goodness, that was classic. You see Barbarian.
We all laughed.
You see
that
Barbarian in the ring laughing with Paul Jones. <think that's> Oh man, good stuff, classic. Now, what were you saying, Steve? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask a couple questions.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite moment or match or moment working with Nikita since you're close with Ivan?
Oh, gosh. Quite a few. There's a few of them. I know about the six-man tag bought for Ivan Nikita one time. That was really cool. There's one where actually Nikita was special guest referee for one of my matches. That was really cool. Those are a few of several, right? Nikita was always a class act, man. I love Nikita. He's awesome.
And then did you work any matches or any shows with Lex Luger?
With Luger? Oh, yeah. Quite a few, actually. And Luger's great. Oh, and being in the back with him and on the road with him was really cool too. So many good memories. Some pretty comical. I mean, when after a house show, I got to wrestling one of the Villanos from Mexico, which we would have great matches with those guys. You know, the luchadors are amazing. So I get. After the match, I get it back. I've been craving Diet 7-Up all night, right? There's a big canisters of Diet 7-Up and Diet Dr. Pepper next to each other. And here's Luger, Arn Anderson, Perry Saturn, and Dean Malenko just, you know, sitting around chit-chatting. And I went to go get, like, a bunch of Diet 7-Up, taking a road, you know, trip back home with me, right? And Luger comes up to me and said, hey, man, why don't you get Diet Dr. Pepper? It's got caffeine in it. And I was like, listen, you big goof, if I wanted to get Diet Dr. Pepper, I would, but I'm craving Diet 7-Up, and I'm going to give you some Diet 7-Up, right? And they all started laughing, right? Arn, Dean, and Perry, and And you're not right, Earl. He said, no, I'm not. I'm thirsty. But yeah, Luger was always cool, man. He was down to earth. And we, you know, we've had dinner together and everything. And it was funny because he always pushed his leftovers on to me, right? Here, take this, take that, right? And I guess it's fine. Because he would try to proportion his meals and stuff, and he was talking about going to gym and protein shakes and all that sort of thing. And, one time I was having dinner with Dusty, right? And Dusty kept pushing this cheesecake on me, right? And I thanked him, you know. I just couldn't eat it all because I was stuffed from dinner, right? So I pushed the cheesecake to Luger. I said, hey, Lex, what's some cheesecake? Lex looked at me, right? He said, you're kidding me, right? And I said, look, man, you going to turn out cheesecake from the dream? And pointed, nodded my head to Dusty. And he just looked at Dusty, and then he just grabbed the cheesecake and commenced to eating. Oh, my God. But Lex was great. He was a cool guy, and he was a lot of fun. And I used to see him and Elizabeth a lot when they were together in the WCW days. And, yeah, they're always really cool.
Did Luger and Randy have any friendship, or did they keep their separate ways?
I mean, they were kosher. They were cool. You know what I mean? I didn't, you know, seeing that ordinary, you know, they're always pretty professional when I was around them.
Because you never know
right.
Could be.
Oh, yeah. It used to be cool, funny to see Liz try to tell Lex to hurry up to get out and do their bits, right? Because Luger was, you know, he would always primp and get right. And Liz was, Lex said, come on, hurry up. You got to get out there. You know what I mean?
That's funny. I was just going to ask.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Did Lex Luger ever wrestle Magnum T.A.?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not. That's a good question. I'm not sure, but I would love to have been there to see it for sure.
Yeah, I just haven't thought about that.
Because I think Luger at the time was just getting started in Florida during that time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Because there were a lot of talk during that time of Lex and Scott Hall being the two newcomers with the good bodies and everything. And that's back when Scott Hall looked like Tom Selleck back in the day.
Back when he was in AWA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I'm not sure.
Star Wolfram.
Whatever happened to that?
Oh, yeah,
other,
the American Starship. Yeah, Starship Eagle and Wolf and Eagle. Yeah. Oh, man.
I was going to ask you, so,
Dan Spivey
whatever
was
happened...
his partner then, yeah. Dan Spivey was his partner. Scott Halls.
Oh,
yeah.
They called himself American Starship. Nice.
I was going to ask you, whatever happened to the other William Regal?
Mr. Electricity,
yeah,
Steve Regal?
The other Steve Regal. He was in AWA.
You know, I'm not sure, actually, because I remember him, he teamed up with Jimmy Garvin a few times.
Okay, because, see, I thought for the longest time, I thought him and William Regal was the same person, but then I realized it wasn't.
Oh, no. I can't even imagine William Regal having the doppelganger run around.
No, Mr. Electricity retired in 96 is what I read.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Wikipedia, so consider the source, but that's what I read.
Yeah, I remember him. Mostly I remember him with, like, with the AWA Mr. Electricity, Steve Regal.
Wasn't he with the Freebirds one time or no? In AWA?
I'm not sure, honestly. But I know him and Jimmy Garvin did some stuff, like they tagged together.
Okay.
But I'm not more sure if he was a Freebird or not. I know Jimmy Garvin eventually became a Freebird. And Jimmy Garvin always had a tight association with the Freebirds anyway, before he became a Freebird, so it was inevitable.
I read that Hayes and Luger had a U.S. title match in 89 at WrestleWar.
I'm glad you brought that up. What a great feud they had, Michael Hayes and Lex Luger.
I had to go back and watch it.
Seen that the other day. It was WrestleWar 89, I believe it was.
Yeah.
It was Michael Hayes and Luger, and then Michael Hayes won the U.S. title.
And right. Michael Hayes was really good shape back then, too.
Yeah.
He was in really good shape. Right. Good stuff. Yeah,
man, could you...
Good stuff.
When the Hall of Fame was occurring, or sometime after, I was thinking to myself, like, man, Michael Hayes is lucky the Freebirds went in pre-pandemic because they had so much time at that Hall of Fame ceremony.
Oh, my God. They were singing a song at the end or something like that. Like,
yeah, that could have been like a go-home right there. Like, they could have finished the show with that.
Yeah, I thought it was at first, but, you know, we had more to come.
Stro, you're not going to believe this.
Okay.
We were just talking on this show about why Lex Luger never won the world title. And
mm-hmm.
I've got the answer for you. Lex Luger did an interview earlier on why Vince McMahon didn't have him win the WWE title at SummerSlam 93.
Okay.
And this is what he said. He was on the Hall of Fame with he was on the podcast with X-Pac, Sean Waltman.
Yeah.
He says, many fans remember Luger from his All-American character. And he said, we did a walkthrough the week before. They didn't allow me to slam Yoko because they didn't want him to get hurt, Luger revealed. I'm the one that has to lift 627 pounds, and they didn't want him to get hurt. So I was so nervous. I didn't have good footing when I got in that ring there. I have cowboy boots on, and Yoko calmed me down and said, don't worry, I got this. I just get a wide base. I just got a good base and helped turn him. But Yoko, as you know, I called the Dancing Bear. Those island boys, so athletic and born to wrestle. He literally almost slammed himself off of me, getting a good base and helped turn him just a little bit. He was that angle. I was so relieved after that. Wow, he was unbelievable. The crowd reaction, Manhattan skyline, in background, and the surprise with me coming down and pushing Bobby Heenan out of the way. The setup on the whole thing was great. One of the great moments I'll always remember in my career for sure. The feud culminated in Luger challenging for the title in 93. While Luger won the match, it was via countout, meaning Yokozuna remained the champion. Waltman,
yeah,
like many other fans, said that Luger should have won the belt that night. Luger responded to that statement. A lot of people felt that way, that it would have been better even if I turned the belt over to him the following night on Raw and got heat on Yoko, Luger said. He did something to me to get it back or something. I enjoyed the opportunity, obviously, and it was a great promotion. But a lot of people thought it might have been more beneficial if you're going to still go with Yoko and have the babyface win and have Yoko win it right back or something, it might have been good. I agree with that for sure. Luger went on to win the Rumble the following year, along with Bret Hart. And in defense of Vince, and the decision makers at the time. Vince was really big, you know, on how much the guard meant to Vince. Luger noted he promised me the title. Vince and I had a great relationship. If I want to put the title on you rather than at SummerSlam, I'd rather wait and do it at WrestleMania 10 at Madison Square Garden. He had that in his head, that if you're going to be my guy, I'm going to put the belt on you as a babyface and give you a run with it. Then things happened after that, and he ended up putting it on Brett, who was a great champion. Why did they not give him the belt? That really was Vince's thinking. I'll get everything revved back up for WrestleMania, and what a way to coronate Lex as my champion, if that's the way we decide to go at WrestleMania 10. That was kind of a little backstory to that whole thing. And that's what Luger said.
So, but it never explained why didn't you get the title.
that Vince had it in plan for him to be champion, but he never gave it to
some breaking scoop news about why he's... Oh, well.
That
way, okay.
I think that's just Luger giving him material to print or put out there.
Yeah, I guess so. That
so
was actually on WrestleLink, if y'all want
to read
it.
We're back to square one.
Yeah. I thought we had an answer there.
Oh, I was hoping so, but hey.
Yeah.
But it was a great moment in history. go ahead.
Who do you think would be a good opponent today for Lex Luger?
Oh crap! Oh man! Oh, let's see. Probably Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, I could see. McIntyre. I was thinking Cesaro. If it's a villain, if it's a villain, Luger, I'd have to go Brian because Brian is such a good fan.
Oh yeah, totally.
I've got some breaking news for y'all.
Uh oh, I hope it's better than the last one.
It is. You're not going to believe this. They have announced that calling the Impact AEW main event at Impact Rebellion will be Mario Ranella, who used to be in WWE.
Mario now. What is he calling?
He's calling the Impact Rebellion main event Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann.
Is this a one and done, or is this just going to be a continuous thing,
right.
Did they say?
Yeah, one and done, too. It might be one, but that'd be interesting if it continues.
Yeah, that'd be great. Gosh.
He just says he'll be calling the main event, and that he's currently an announcer for Bellator and someone else. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He keeps very busy with his combat sports work, so that's cool that he's doing wrestling again.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, that's pretty neat. I got him.
Is that pay-per-view going to be in Canada, or is that going to be in the States?
I think it's in the States. I think it's going to be in wherever they've been taping their shows. I think Nashville, I think it is.
Because I know Mario is a Canadian, that's why I have that. Because I think Anthem might be based in Canada.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the new announcer on Raw? That new guy, commentator.
I can't judge yet. I can't knock him yet, but I'm sure he doesn't sound that much different than some of the other play-by-play they've had.
I mean, he doesn't sound bad so far.
I honestly can't say because I haven't even heard him because I haven't even watched. I stopped watching WWE after the WrestleMania and the Broken Skull thing. I hadn't even watched WWE. So I can't say.
I didn't watch a lot of Raw, so I'd have to go back and listen to it. But, Stro, what did you think about Michael Cole? What did you think about the commentary at WrestleMania? Because there was a couple of moments where people kind of rolled their eyes, like Cole, you know, botching the finish and saying the Sasha kicked out, and then the Fiend's entrance with the whole box-like structure, people kept eye-rolling at.
And what about the pound and ground? Oh my gosh!
I missed that.
He was Michael Cole was a rare form, that's for sure.
No, I think Byron Saxton had to say the box like structure that somebody did, and it's like everybody. And then I heard people saying, "Why don't you just call it a box? That's what it is, the box."
Oh man, unreal.
Well,
I thought night one was just amazing. Night one
right.
was just rocking, right? And then night two was like hit and miss until the main event. The main event saved it totally.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
I
thought that triple threat match was amazing with Edge and Daniel Bryan
Reigns. The double cross face was awesome.
Oh, and them headbutting at each other as they're trying to get Reigns to tap out. That was really cool.
Right. That was like playing a three out of Regal Finlay. I mean, Regal Finlay or Regal Benoit, actually, because they were doing his headbutts.
You know, I never thought I'd say this, but I think the thing that the moment I'm going to remember probably the most out of this year's WrestleMania was when Bad Bunny did the Canadian Destroyer. That was amazing.
That was unexpected. And then Booker called it the Bunny Destroyer, and then I thought about what I was going to call it later. I thought to myself, Boricua Destroyer, because he's Puerto Rican. I wasn't a fan of his TV segments because it just felt very long and they were just no time, but his match I thought impressed me because I didn't expect him to get that much time in the match and give Priest top 10.
Yeah. But yeah, that night one was just amazing. Start to finish.
And Cesaro Rollins is one of my favorite matches of the weekend. With the UFO.
What a show stealer that one was. Oh, man.
Right.
What a match.
I can't believe it took them that long to get in the singles match at Mania. It's crazy.
God.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Overall, I thought the rest of Mania was good this year.
I think usually Mania is a mixed bag for me, but there was obviously some good matches on both nights. But I think match of the week had to be Ciampa and Walter, of course.
Oh, God, what a match. Oh, that was amazing.
Definitely a throwback. I love how he finished.
I wish we can get more of Walter.
Right.
He's awesome. And Ciampa, man. Ciampa's one of the best they got, man. Ciampa's amazing.
Yeah, I was fortunate to see his ROH work and kind of follow his NXT run. And, I think he's really good in his psycho role, Blackheart persona.
And Ciampa, I'm still waiting for the Ciampa and Randy Orton match. That match,
right.
If it ever happens, that'll be, oh my gosh.
Because I think the only thing left for Orton, the only speculation I've seen is maybe Orton Edge teaming up since they both wore white gear at Mania. But other than that RKO reunion, I think a Ciampa Orton match would be pretty good too.
Gosh, I would love to see Orton and Edge get back together as a team.
Would be interesting.
I like that big guy, too. AJ Styles Orton, I thought he did good against New Day.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. He's pretty dominant. If they keep building him like a giant, that'd be good. Instead of treating him like they did Great Khali. You know.
Yeah, they give Khali a run and then they just turn him into a comedy act almost doesn't do that right away.
And now he's a Hall of Famer.
And you know the weird thing is I was thinking about this the other night.
Yeah, Khali.
It's really weird that Christian, if you think about it, Christian and Big Show, Paul White, their last appearance on WWE camera was both with Randy Orton. Randy Orton punted Christian in the head, and then he was backstage with Big Show and said, "Get up, you old fat boy." You know, he was sitting in a chair. And I thought, wow, that's pretty weird.
Wow. Randy Orton is the legend killer.
I guess so.
Do you guys have any plugs you'd like to give out there?
You go ahead, Steve.
Not really any plugs, just I would recommend checking out some of the recent New Japan events. Kota Ibushi won Ospreay, had a really good match with heavyweight title there, and then I'm looking forward to Jon Moxley versus Nagata at some point. I'm not sure the date of it yet, but he challenged Nagata to face him for the Challenger's U.S. title. I think that'd be pretty good. Looking forward to that. I also saw that Dark Side of the Ring, his third season is coming back. I'm looking forward to that, too. They're starting
nice.
With Brian Pillman.
Oh, awesome.
Pretty interesting. Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. You can reach me at Silver Steven on my social media. But, yeah, those are my plugs. Glad I could be on talking about Lex Luger and recent events.
Awesome.
All right,
what about
I don't
you,
really have,
Brian?
I don't really have any plugs. I did want to ask you, Stro, because I haven't asked you in a long time, and I was just thinking about it a while ago. How is your godson doing that loves Spider-Man?
Oh, he's doing great. Matter of fact, he's a big RRH fan. They go see the ROH shows every now and then and everything. So, the Ring of Honor people there, they treat him like gold up there. So,
that's cool.
I
need to watch more ROH because they have the Los Gobernables faction there. I wonder if Andrade eventually goes there to join his stablemates at some point, Roosh and Dragon Lee and the others. So, interesting times. I wanted to ask, I figure it's enough time, but what did you think about Godzilla vs. King Kong? I know you've probably talked about this about it, but I had to ask.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. It was light years better than the original, for sure. And second, it gave a lot of insight on some things you didn't know about both Godzilla and King Kong, which was really cool. And Tarzan was in the movie. That was amazing. It was just all around. It was great. And I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very well done. And I hear it's really doing good around the world. The movie is.
I'm gonna have to check it out. I haven't watched it yet on HBO Max, but I'm gonna check it out.
I hope that if they do another movie with Kong and Godzilla, that they kind of bring back the Skull Island cast, because I really liked some of the people in that movie, like John C. Reilly. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I really enjoyed seeing the fight scenes and Connors as well.
Yeah, it was really cool, and we got to see a Titan that a man-made Titan that we hadn't seen since back in the day in the movie as well. So that was really cool.
Nice.
And then seeing King Kong and Godzilla doing wrestling moves was pretty awesome. Like, so I popped with Godzilla arm drag King Kong. I popped when King Kong drop kicked Godzilla. It was just amazing. I mean, the choreographer had to have been a wrestling fan, seriously.
All right.
And the Superman punch by King Kong was pretty amazing. Off the building.
Yeah. Wow. Like a little bit of everybody was talking about that, baby.
And King Kong doing the axe handle off the top of the building. Must have been a Macho Man fan in there somewhere. And the thing out of Lethal Weapon, you know, Mel Gibson, when he's Martin Riggs, when he puts his shoulder back in place, Kong did with the building, putting his shoulder up. Man, I'm like, whoa. That was amazing.
I do remember that, yeah.
and seeing Godzilla and King Kong as a tag team was pretty awesome.
Right at the end.
Mhm. Good stuff.
I also want to let all the fans know out there, WSC Lounge. I'll let y'all know when the show's coming back. You know, when I've got another show lined up. Of course, after the last Tuesday show on last Thursday, I got the honor of interviewing Bob and Tom, the hosts of the One with Bob and Tom 2 show, who they live in Canada, and they've interviewed all kind of hockey people and wrestlers and celebrities and all kinds of different people, and they were pretty cool. And there's one interview they got on YouTube where Bob gets to do the interview, and he's sitting there, and Chris Jericho says, "Shut up, kid." So that was pretty funny. They said they liked that.
Well, thank you guys for calling. You guys make the show as always. Always a pleasure having you on. Please drop in next week. And thank your listeners that are listening. Be sure to catch our archive show up tonight. Just go to VOCNation.com, look for WCW Retro and Talking Lex Luger. And hope you guys have a great rest of the week and weekend. And we'll see you next Thursday. And we'll go home with the sounds of Bad Street USA. You'll have a good night. God bless.
God bless.
shit, couldn't make it down our block. But I never get it here in that evidence out of late. I'm going to the coast, so as far as I think, since you went there. Don't come to me. Oh, yeah. Cause this is where the fever's here, but everything's going down. If you don't know by now, we always get our way. That's the way it is down here on Bad Street, USA. Bad Street in the USA. Bad Street, Jackie and I. Who's the guy that got you with the bad?